We thank you so much for joining us today on Take 10. We come to you every week with a look at a mental health related issue and caregiving. I'm Ron Aaron. Our co-host with us today, Carol Zernial, is a nationally recognized gerontologist, named one of the nation's top 50 influencers in aging by Next Avenue, the journalism arm of the public broadcasting system. Carol holds a master's degree in social gerontology and has been in the field of aging for over 30 years. And Dr. Jamie Heisman is with us as well. He serves as the Chief Compassion Officer for WellMed Medical Management. He's a leading authority on caregiver burnout, compassion, fatigue, and related addictions. Also knows a heck of a lot about caregiving. And Dr. Jamie, you tossed out a topic as we were talking briefly off the air, which is fascinating. The fixed mindset caregiver. What does that mean?
You know, without getting too clinical with our audience, you know, what we call pathologies and personality traits that create disorders, it's easier for us to talk about the fixed mindset caregiver and the growth mindset caregiver. So your question is, who's the fixed mindset caregiver? That's a person, literally a caregiver, but it could be your caree too. But let's look at it in terms of caregiver who doesn't have empathy, really doesn't have a lot of accountability, and literally doesn't caregive from the heart, but kind of sees the transaction of it all. So a fixed mindset will view traits as inherently totally stable in some way and unchangeable over time. That makes them fixed, a black and white thinker. And so that's quite different than what a growth mindset would be.
Now, what would be an example? I'm sorry, Carol.
No, I was going to say, what if I say, well, that's good. I'm not going to be overly emotional. I'm going to come in. You're always going to know where I am, where I stand. I'm going to be the North Star constant in the universe.
And I would say the caree, the person you're taking care of, is walking on eggshells, really fearful, has a chronic terminal acute illness. And if you are a fixed mindset caregiver, you're not able to be flexible. You're not able to be connective. You're not going to have the emotional intelligence to meet your loved one halfway and understand them, have the compassion to walk into their shoes and realize that we need to meet each other halfway. If you have a fixed mindset caregiver, you have somebody seeing black and white, my way or the highway, and you've got a chronic or terminal acute illness, you're going to be scared to death of this person taking care of you because they really won't understand you, and nor do they maybe have the capabilities to understand.
Now, how does that play out in the day-to-day? There's certain aspects of the caregiver's schedule that really have to be fixed in the mind of the caregiver. You wake up, you do breakfast, you take a shower, you take your medicine. The day is all locked in and programmed.
Well, that's great. And that goes to Carol's question. So a fixed mindset can be a high-achieving person. Okay, a fixed mindset person literally does not have, let's say, the ability maybe to be flexible, change, and connect, but they are all very image driven. So they want to be seen as the best caregiver by family members, loved ones, churches, synagogues, ashrams. They want to be, make sure that their image is there. So they'll probably get you to the place on time. They're high achievers. They can actually organize things so they can look good. But looking good and feeling good is two separate things. So they may look good to the public, but to the person they're taking care of, no, they don't feel good.
So what I hear you saying is there's an emotional component that's missing here. This, you said task-driven versus relationship driven, maybe, you know, we talked about a partnership, a care partner.
Yes, yes. In fact, but Carol, the best way to look at this is it's the difference between a growth mindset, which has emotional intelligence, they really do, and a fixed mindset is emotionally immature. So a caregiver who, let's say, is literally, you know, has a growth mindset, has that emotional intelligence, that mindfulness to be in the moment, to be compassionate, to maybe they won't be as well or organized, let's say, maybe as your fixed mindset person, but they'll do just the best they can. And they'll know who they are. Whereas the fixed mindset person, you know, that's a whole nother ballgame. That person is literally, you know, by the way, they can't help themselves. This is not a choice. I want our caregivers that are listening to this to say that this is a developmental issue, whether you have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset, and it's more like a childhood response. It's the way we were actually raised.
We're going to come right back to you, Dr. Jamie, but first I'm going to let folks know who may have just joined us. You're listening to Take 10. I'm Ron Aaron, along with Dr. Jamie Heisman and Carol Zernial, and we're talking about fixed mindset caregiving. And by the way, Take 10 is available wherever you get your podcast. So, Dr. Jamie, explain the emotional, fixed emotion, flexible emotion. When you say emotion, what do you mean?
So, again, the difference having emotional intelligence, Ron, or having emotional immaturity is the difference between having a growth mindset caregiver and a fixed mindset caregiver. So emotional immaturity means basically you have the same traits that you had as a child. You haven't really evolved to the adult stage of reflection, of being proactive. You're much more reactive. You're much more childlike. You're much more, if you will, self-engrossed and narcissistic, because really the fixed mindset is an emotionally immature caregiver. And that's what makes them very difficult, if you will, to be with, especially if you have a chronic illness and you're relying on safety around you.
So, Jamie, I heard you say that this is the way people are. What if I realize that I'm got a fixed growth mindset and I want to be more flexible? Can I teach myself the mechanics at least of being more flexible?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And us psychologists have asked that same question for years. So the fixed mindset is usually a neurological sort of default, meaning this happened at childhood. And so they became conditioned almost as a bad habit, if you will, to see life as inherently unsafe and have that fixed mindset. However, I do believe if you go to a good therapist, and I can make a lot of recommendations, somebody trained in trauma, somebody trained in what we call DBT, which is a whole nother show, dialectical behavioral therapy. I think if a person with a fixed mindset can start literally having some insight that their actions are not helpful for the situation. Now, if this is a full-blown psychopathology and a diagnosable situation, I doubt that there'd be much hope in terms of growth and development.
Is that something you know you are?
Well, you don't really know. Exactly. If you are diagnosable, Ron, meaning if you have what we call a cluster B, a personality disorder, you are certainly a fixed mindset person. So, but that's only one of eight people the American Psychological Association says. So to Carol's question, if you have enough insight, which is connecting motivation and behavior, to actually kind of understand that this is fixed and I want to start maybe looking at life differently and getting to the growth, maybe you're not diagnosable, and maybe you can go to a good therapist, a trauma therapist, who can help you develop. Now, if you cannot, if you don't get over it, guess what? It may well be a diagnosable event.
You used an ad. Go ahead, Carol.
But what do you do if you are the care recipient and you realize that this is what we've called a toxic relationship? We have a caregiver who doesn't adjust to our needs and our emotions. And what do I do?
So this is a whole long other show, but I will say this, Carol. This is the seeds of where elder abuse comes in. Elder abuse comes in through financial elder abuse. It comes in through being so detached that you're really not there except for transactional reasons, maybe the will, maybe something like that. And this is also a time when you want to get other family members engaged and involved. And if you can, if you have the neurological capabilities, or get groups like the AAA or other groups who deal with elder abuse, because this is not a great situation in any way, shape, or form that's going to help somebody, you know, feel comfortable and if you will, age properly. So this is kind of a borderline situation. I think the entire family should be engaged, because it's usually just one member of a family that has that fixed mindset. But there are ways and recourses and there are agencies to go to.
Let's do a show one of these days on that very topic. What does the care recipient do and how do they manage an untenable situation? Thank you, Dr. Jamie. Thank you, Carol Zernial. I'm Ron Aaron. Thanks for joining us on Take 10.